Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, a king seeks justice between a knight and a peasant. How does he find out who is lying or who is telling the truth? On another moving story of Stories from the Heart. Justice. The northwestern part of Spain, from the Pyrenees to the River Ebro, used to be called the Kingdom of Aragon. Its reigning monarch about 800 years ago was King Ramira. He was a good sovereign, fair-minded and just. He dispensed justice in a large covered courtyard of his palace. Lords, knights, shopkeepers, peasants, everyone had the right to relate his grievance to the king and to ask him his help, his protection, or damages for any injury done. One day, as King Ramira, attended by his chancellor or chief justice and some officers of his palace, was holding open court, he saw two strangers approaching. One was a knight wearing a suit of armor, the other a peasant clad in a smoke frock belted around the waist and a cloak reaching halfway down his legs, the hood of which cloak served him as a hat or a cap. Behind the two men came one of the king's squires, leading a horse by the bridle. "What new business is this?" asked Ramira a little impatiently. He had spent many hours in listening to the complaints and recriminations of a score of people, and had just been congratulating himself on the fact that a day's work was almost done. "Your Majesty," required the squire, "these two men dispute the ownership of this horse." "Who does own the horse?" asked Ramira. "I do," answered the knight with some heat. "This noble is not telling the truth," said the peasant. "The horse is mine." "It appears to me," remarked the king, "that for a man-at-arms steed, the horse is rather poorly comparisoned." "True, sire," rejoined the knight, "but I was just coming to the city to see about his proper equipment." "What have you to say to that?" demanded the king to the peasant. "I say that the knight is claiming property that doesn't belong to him. He attacked me near the gate of the city and forced me at its sword's point to dismount." The air of truthfulness that marked this speech impressed the king. But how was he to decide what to do? An inquiry would have to be made. "Come back here in 8 days," he said to the two plaintiffs. "Until then, the horses shall be taken care of in my stables." 6 of the allotted 8 days passed without anything having been accomplished by the investigation which the king had set on foot. On the 7th day, as Ramiro and his chancellor were enjoying a walk along one of the quieter streets, there came upon a group of boys engaged in lively conversation. "There's lots of time yet," said one of the group. "Let's have another game of the king who gives justice." "Yes, let's," said 3 or 4. "Is it a hard game?" answered a little fellow. "Not at all. As you haven't been in the game yet, you may be the knight." "And who'll be King Ramira?" "Me, me," sang a dozen voices. "It seems that my dignity excites their envy," remarked Ramira to the chancellor. "But let us listen. Who knows but this boy's game may give us an idea." At last the lads agreed that the king's part should be taken by a certain Giles Lopez, who appeared to be something of a leader among them. The peasant's role was assigned without difficulty, but there remained another prominent character, the horse. "'Tis just the time that Manuel brings home the miller's old donkey," said Giles. "And he usually comes this way." The boys kept on walking slowly forward, and the king and his minister followed them just as slowly. 2 or 3 of the lads looked around when they heard some steps behind them, but paid no further attention to the promenaders. Presently, they reached a stone bench. "Here's a tribunal, the justice seat," said Giles. At the same moment, Manuel appeared leading a donkey. "Here's our horse just in time," was their cry. "Now let's begin." Giles, impersonating King Rhaenyra, seated himself bravely on the bench, having an assistant on either side. The boys, who represented the knight and the peasant, took their places, standing in front of the tribunal. "And now," remarked Manuel, who had doubtlessly seen the game before, "we must blindfold the donkey." "The donkey?" said Giles severely. "You mean the horse." "That's right, Your Majesty. I forgot that the donkey was promoted." "Well, Sir Knight," began Giles, "what do you demand?" "You demand the horse, which you say is yours, and you accuse the peasant of having stolen it from you." The knight immediately got over his bashfulness and repeated the words with some vigor. In the meantime, Manuel had taken off his coat and tied it by the sleeves around the head of the donkey, who took the matter very quietly as though he were used to it. "Now you peasant will answer in your turn, but not before," said the young knight to the other claimant. "Sir Knight," he continued, "this horse is blind in one eye. Tell me which eye it is." "But I don't know." "Oh, you've got to answer something. Is it the right or the left?" "How can I tell?" "Say something." "Well, the right eye then." "You hear, Mr. Chancellor, and all present, this man says that the horse belongs to him, and he gives us proof that 'tis blind in the right eye." "Oh, yes, he has said so." "Very well. Now, peasant, it's your turn. The horse is blind in one eye. Is it the right eye or the left?" "Neither one," replied the peasant. The horse, is mine. He isn't blind now and never has been." "Uncover the horse's head," commanded the pretend king. Then, having examined the animal's eyes, he continued, "Peasant, you have spoken truly. The horse is yours. As for this lying knight, let my guards bear him away to prison." The real King Rhaenyra and his minister had been interested observers of the whole game, and its conclusion, the king remarked, "In default of any other plan for discovering the truth, I am half resolved to try the plan of Master Giles." The following day, the knight and peasant presented themselves before the tribunal. The king was surrounded with his officers, and the courtyard was filled with a curious crowd. The horse was brought forth, and to the great surprise of both claimants, the king ordered the animal to be blindfolded. "Today," said Rhaenyra, "I am going to give my decision. At least, I hope so. Knight, I shall question you first. As for you," turning to the peasant, "I forbid you not only to interrupt the proceeding, but to show your feelings in any way. Now, Sir Knight, you still maintain, I believe, that the horse is yours, and you declare that this peasant desires to defraud you of it. Is that correct?" "It is," replied the knight. "The horse being yours, you are, of course, familiar with his good qualities, and also with his defects." "Certainly," replied the knight, though a little uneasily, for he evidently did not like these questions. "The horse," continued the king, "is blind in one eye. Which eye is it?" "The left eye," said the knight, trusting to luck. "What do you say, peasant?" inquired Rhaenyra, turning to the other claimant, who had been keeping quite silent, though his eyes expressed considerable amazement at the questions asked by the king. "Why, Your Majesty, except for a slight spavinum of his left hind leg, my horse is perfectly sound, and his eyes are both of them good as mine." "Yes, by St. James, and I know it well," exclaimed the king. "You are questionably the horse's owner. Take it, and since you have come to settle down in Aragon, you may enter my own service. As for this rascal," he continued, turning to the knight, "throw him in the dungeon, until the presence of the whole people we degrade him from his knighthood as a robber and a felon." Now, if Rhaenyra had been like a good many great people, wanting to take all possible credit to himself, this would be the end of the story. But he wasn't that kind of man at all. So he sent for young Giles Lopez and had a long talk with him. Finding the boy to be shrewd and intelligent, he sent him to Montpellier to study law. Giles gave a good account of himself at the law school, and not a great many years later, he became Chief Justice of Aragon.
in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, King Ramirez Justice, was from the Ave Maria magazine. Psalm 91 was from David Phillips' CD, The Psalms. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.